Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ada Marie Show, where she will provide answers to your life questions. During this hour, Ada Marie will talk about a favorite topic suggested by the first listener of the day, then take your questions. Place all fears aside and know that there is a solution to every problem. She will lead you to the discovery that your life is meant to be about joy. Ada Marie is a revolutionary seer, conscious medium, healer, life coach, and counselor. Growing up on a farm in the eastern Montana prairie, Ada Marie was taught herbal medicine and mentored in intuitive sight by conscious mediums, her grandmothers. Being a seer and survivor, she trains and guides you on a path of physical and emotional regeneration, which is invaluable to understanding the individual steps necessary to achieve vitality and a life filled with inner calm and peace. She has a rare gift of hands-on healing and communicating universal knowledge. Her life mission is to pass this knowledge on to others. And so let me welcome Ada Marie.
Thank you, and I'm happy to be here today. I have a wonderful understanding. You know, there's been so many killings and stuff, senseless, really senseless.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had to be consoling the parents and the families of these people. And it's really sad. But I received a very clear message about 10 o'clock this morning that I really want to share with everyone, because I believe that it will make a lot of help in releasing the pain and suffering of losing a loved one. And it is that the things that are going on in our country now, and the shootings, the killings, and the terrible events that are being caused are because there are people wanting to destroy our nation. Now, the only way that that can be stopped is if every single household, every parent, every child in every household diligently, before they go to bed at night, pray for our United States of America to be back in perfect harmony as it was started. Got it? Pray for the... I got stopped and my brain, I get emotional. We must pray for the... I've got to not be emotional. We must pray for the protection and the return of our country to its original beginning. And it is that way we can stop all the hate and all the killing. But we have to pray diligently that we return to our original United States of America as it started. We must do that. When I received that, I cried right away. The tears just run down my face, and I was determined to be able to say this without being upset again. But I'm very much a person who believes in our nation. I believe we have the finest nation on earth. There isn't any better nation than the United States of America. And when I was receiving this information, it filled me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I know the feeling. I know that feeling, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that must be our prayer every night, to pray for the return of our country to its beginning, so that all the prayers and all the loved ones and all the help that people helped each other. All the drugs that people have taken that's caused them to shoot and kill and do bad things, that'll just have to disappear. There's no other way. It has to stop. So I'm asking everybody to pray diligently for the return of our safety and our nation.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I just was overwhelmed because I'm a little bit emotional, but I was so excited to be able to share this. And then the funny thing happened. Somebody from New York who has a lot of power and a lot of things, I mean, he gets a lot of things accomplished, had called me for 3 days and couldn't get me. And today, mind you, today he got a hold of me. And he said, I am so pleased to meet with you and talk to you. I have listened to you, and I am impressed with your attitude and how you approach things. It's a very simple approach. And I thanked him, and he said, are you on the air? I said, yes, I'm on the air today. So he might call in if he's able to.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, we do have a topic that was suggested by our first caller, Diana.
Okay.
And she wanted to talk about forgiveness of self. And I think you and I would both agree that that's where it all begins. And perhaps that's the most important step in forgiveness. What do you say?
I agree. Until you can forgive yourself, you're not going to forgive anybody else. And you're not going to feel like you've been forgiven if you don't accept it. You know, it's always say, oh, that person is just gorgeous. But if they don't feel gorgeous, they don't see themselves gorgeous. It's the same way with this. If you don't feel good about you and forgive yourself, nobody can forgive you because you're not going to allow it to happen. So here we are, starting again, another trip to be able to look in the mirror and say, I like me, so you can. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Kemples, and say it. I like me, so you can. Amen.
Well, you know, that makes me think about church and how churches encourage you to ask God for forgiveness.
Right.
That's all well and good, but that kind of leaves out an important step, and that is you have to be able to forgive yourself in order to truly accept that into your heart.
That's right. You have to forgive yourself. And if you can't forgive yourself, you will become sick with something. There's some kind of an ailment will come to you until you forgive yourself. Everybody is human, so everybody makes mistakes. What they should do is forgive themselves and say, I learned da-da-da-da-da-da. In this experience, I don't have to go through this again, right?
Well, that's just the thing. Every experience is a learning opportunity.
Right.
And if people can look at it that way, then there's no judgment. Then there's no need to find yourself in a place where you need to forgive yourself about anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important step in being able to see what you learned from your experience. I mean, that's very important. Nothing happens by accident.
No.
We had a bad windstorm and day before yesterday, and it knocked over a tree in the backyard. But amazingly enough, the tree didn't hit the house. It fell the other way. And I suppose it's dead at the root, my husband said. Yes, the branches had leaves on, but the plant fell from the ground. You know, it just toppled in the wind. And he said, so it must have died at the root, and then the wind just knocked it over. Now he has to clean it up. So, but it had green leaves on it. And so it had tried and tried and tried to survive, even when it didn't have a good understanding, there wasn't good roots, and the roots were dead.
Well, that's kind of a good metaphor.
Yeah.
Because we need to strive ourselves, and if our roots become weak, we need to plant them back into the ground. And we can't do that if we're feeling insecure within ourselves. And lack of forgiveness is a big cause of insecurity.
It is all of insecurity. When we think about it, if you can't forgive yourself and like yourself, you're going to be extremely insecure because you feel like you don't fit.
And you said that that's an important step in terms of being able to forgive anybody else, too.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. How can you forgive anybody else if you don't forgive yourself?
What are the steps to forgiving yourself?
The biggest step to forgive yourself, I think, and my grandma taught us, look in the mirror and say to God, I know I made a mistake, and I learned this from it. I hope I don't have to do it again. And forgive me, please. Forgive me, forgive me. And then you have to accept that forgiveness that looks back from those eyes. Those eyes that you're looking at are the eyes of God, because he is the one who gives us sight, right?
That's right. God is within each of us.
Absolutely. He is within every person. And there is no one who has to think that they have more right to God than the other person, because we all have the same right.
And when we're looking at the mirror with eyes of love, that's God's love reflected back at us.
Right, looking right back at you.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you be wrong? You just have to forgive yourself and mean it. Mean it.
Are there any other steps?
Well, I think the biggest step is to just feel and continue to feel for a time that you have moved through that space, and you're not going to have those things happen again. Feel that you have done right, and now you're going to move through that space and know that those things won't happen to you again.
Well, that comes back to your inner knowing that all is well.
All is well.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Anything else you want to say before we move on to the callers?
I think that gave them a lot of energy to be able to, you know, think about. If you give them too much, the poor things, they don't know where to start.
Right. Well, it's to keep it simple.
Right.
So you need to forgive yourself first.
Right.
And you need to know that you don't need to repeat that mistake.
You need, by forgiving yourself, you've learned from the mistake, so you don't have to do it again.
You don't have to do it again, and you know that all is well.
Right.
Okay. That's kind of a three-part process.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Easy as apple pie, ABC.
Right.
All right, let's go to the callers. We have Diana first.
Okay.
And Diana, you're live.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. And
sure.
The topic is this, and I'm still working through that. And I, just like you were both saying, that it's the ability to be able to look in the mirror and say, I made this mistake. And many of us will do really good deeds for other people and expect that in return. And then when it doesn't happen, you get angry and resentful and hurt. But I think taking self-responsibility and looking in that mirror and saying, well, what part did I have in this? What lesson was this for me?
Right.
And
right.
Realizing that it's a gift that you're giving, not so much to that person, but to yourself, not to hold down onto that anger and that resentment, that you're only, it's toxic to your soul to hold on to that. And that, to me, is not from the light, you know. And we're called to do good and this and that. And, like, the tragedy that happened in Florida, everyone's, like, kill them and stuff like that. This is, for me, I don't know, my belief is just that this soul needs to be studied. Why did this happen? There needs to be forgiveness. And it's very difficult for those families that lost a loved one. And
mm-hmm.
I had a loved one tragically murdered, not in this, but in the past. And all you do is you're holding that anger and that toxic in yourself and your soul, and it's not good. It's not good. So actually, when you learn to forgive, you're giving a gift not just to that person that offended you, but you're giving a gift to your own soul.
Mm.
Right.
And it's
how true.
A really long process to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, yeah.
Go ahead.
I have a big responsibility because I referred my brother to an oncologist, and he was hit with an extremely high bill, and the oncologist kept telling him, everything's okay, it's okay. He's got like $4,000 in copay, and now I'm taking that on to resolve that, and I'm kind of, you know, like, okay, that's not my responsibility. I am not going to feel bad for that. So that'll get resolved, but my issue is, what is my new direction? What are the angels saying? I know I let go of the house. I want it to sell. I want to get close to family and stuff like that. Like, where should my new direction be?
To take care of yourself and to make yourself completely able to handle the things that come to you, not to your family, but come to you, because this is a lesson for each one of us that we must first take care of ourselves, and after that, we can then maybe assist in family members or others. But you have to first take care of yourself. That's universal law.
I've been doing that. I really have. I'm walking this rare cancer journey with my brother. And I have been doing that. I have split my time between my self-care and trying to guide him through this as well. So I'm just open to whatever the angels, you know, would want me to focus on.
Well, that's a good thing. So study all you can find out about cancer, and there might be a food that he could eat that would stop that completely. One lady, after going through a whole bunch of books and stuff, she found something she could do to stop her cancer, and she did it. And I keep asking her what she did, and she said, different for everybody, different for everybody. And so she doesn't give me an answer, but she went to the doctor, and he was shocked that she didn't have any sign of cancer in her blood or anywhere. But she says, it's different for everybody. That she keeps telling me. So I really don't know what she did.
Well, I think what Diane is also asking you is if there are any other messages from the angels for her in terms of how she can persevere in this situation.
With her brother, you mean?
Just from me in general, because I learned the word no, and I have put myself first, which is very difficult, but I have learned that. And yes, and I am very into holistic stuff, so I have guided him. Even his oncologist, you know, he said he's dealing with malabsorption. It's very abrupt. So I had him take glucomine, which is for diarrhea, and this is a rare cancer that Steve Jobs had, and everyone, the zebras, we all are affected differently. And within a week, he gained 7 pounds, and I was joyful, you know. So I'm talking about my move. I was told, let go of the house. I said prayers in every room. I let go. I want this house sold so I can get close to the family.
Well, you know, again, you did your prayer work, and your prayer work is working. That's wonderful. It might not work as fast as you want it to, and then again, it could suddenly take off and do something. But I firmly believe that you have to turn to the Father, to God, to get something accomplished when it's out of our ability to do it. You go to the source and say, we've learned our lesson, now we need our perfect health to go forward and help others. And I think it's very important. I mean, I've been pronounced dead 3 times. I'm no stranger to going through things. And every time when I regained consciousness, that was my first thing to say, okay, God, I'm awake. Now you better show me what to do. And, you know, and things would turn around, and eventually I'd get on my feet again. And sometimes it would take a number of months for me to get my strength back, but I never let up on the fact that every day I said, now what do I do today? What is the calling for me to handle today. And that's what I did. I didn't go to the hospital. I didn't go back. I just every day ask what to do.
Like in the spring, even people that have been through this for years, you know, I try and minister to people through the private group that I'm in and stuff and grants and stuff like that. So I feel that I have a calling to start my own foundation to help those in need.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to be doing, but I know in order to facilitate that, I have to sell the house and I have to set a plan.
And that's the only thing you can see ahead of you, right?
No, I see God's blessings, and I am always thankful to God, and I speak to Him all the time.
Right. So you feel it's a necessity to sell the house to be able to help them heal?
No, I do that anyway, but I think that I could do it better if I was closer to family, and I'm in a very rural community upstate New York. If I was on Long Island, I think that I would be able to do that much better.
I see. I understand. And very possibly you've looked into it, so you know you can. You know?
Yes, I'm wondering if the angels have
I feel that you have a plan that you're not divulging to anybody, and you're going to make it work.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But it all hinges on this house selling.
Well, okay. You want it sold? We'll do that. I'll give it some taps right now. And somebody with cash will show up. Okay?
What?
There you go.
She said she's going to give it a zap and somebody with cash will show up.
Yeah.
Well, I would greatly appreciate that.
Okay, you just hold the knowing. You hold the knowing that somebody's going to come along with a cash buyer, because that's what you want. You want a cash buyer, and you want them to show up ASAP, okay?
That's it, and I will pray for that. And
okay.
If that's God's plan, obey.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Thank you so much for your blessing.
And I'll keep working on it for you. I'll keep every hour sending out the energy.
Thank you so much. And I try, and I do. I try and send out the positive energy. It comes back.
Just keep sending it. It'll work, okay?
Thank you. God bless you guys.
God bless you. Thanks for calling, and thanks for suggesting the topic.
Yes, forgiveness is very important. Thank you. God
okay,
bless.
Well, we're going to move on to the next caller if you're complete.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Sharon is next, and then we have some area codes of people I haven't talked to. Sharon, you're live.
Hi. Hello, Ava.
Hi there.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Wonderful. Forgiveness. I think that people who don't forgive themselves, I truly believe this, it can lead to serious, serious internal sickness, heart attacks, cancer. That's what I think.
You have to forgive yourself. Because the lesson is, if you forgive yourself, you got the lesson, right?
Yep.
Okay, so stop moaning about what you did and figure out what the lesson was, and then you'll forgive yourself.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
That's a good thing.
Do you have a question, Sharon?
I do. What do you see in the near future with career changes for me, transitions?
For what kind of transition?
New career possibilities coming up.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to change careers.
Three.
Do you see me getting an offer? An offer?
You will get an offer. I don't know that you will take it, but there are three openings here for you. So be very careful. And when you get one offer, of course, naturally there'll come another. But be careful to be sure that you feel in your heart that that's the right place, okay?
That's a good, yeah. Do you feel that coming up soon?
Soon, yeah. This summer, that's what's going to make it hard because it's going to be very hot this summer.
Well, summer's quite a ways away.
Yeah, only a couple months.
It's a few months.
And she
so
wants
you said
something that she... Yeah.
And you said in the summertime I'll get these?
I think you'll get the option in June and July.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
That'll be good. Choose
Wonderful.
Carefully.
Choose carefully. Okay.
Yeah.
I can wait. I don't have... Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's good.
Thank you so much. I know it is.
You're
it's
welcome.
Wonderful.
You're welcome.
Have a nice evening. Thank you, David.
Oh, you're welcome, Sharon. Thank you.
Thank you.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She, yeah, Sharon's called before.
Yes.
She really has got a soul on her, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Okay, we're moving on to area code 480. What is your name, please?
Shiloh.
Hi, Shiloh.
Hi.
What's your question?
My question is, how do you see court going next week? Positively
Very
or
good,
negative?
In your honor.
Okay.
That came
good.
Fast.
Good.
I haven't had
okay.
anything come that fast for a while.
Good to hear. Okay. Well, that was my
okay.
only question, so I will let you move on. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. God bless.
Well,
Thank
we don't
you.
Have any other callers. I wonder if anybody's got a topic.
Mm-hmm. What was the topic we were starting with here?
Well, we talked quite a bit about forgiveness of self.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe Sharon's got an idea. Let's go back to her.
Okay.
Hi, Sharon. Do you have a topic that you'd like us to discuss?
Oh, my goodness. You did forgiveness, I know. How about, wow, I think this is so important, teamwork.
Oh.
Wow.
That's a good one.
That's excellent.
I know. Instead of being it's all about me. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
There's so many different ways to interpret that.
Right.
That's what I
mm-hmm.
guess. Don't always think it's all about me. How's that? And that comes up a lot. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does. That's all ego.
Thank you.
A lot
you.
Of it is ego, and a lot of it is insecurity.
Right. Well, that certainly stems from ego. No question about it.
Right.
I
yeah.
agree.
Right.
Well, what do you say, Ada?
Well, I'm saying that, you know, in a lot of cases, the ego gets the best of people, so they're so wrapped up in their ego and they're getting to the top or whatever they want that there isn't that consideration of everybody else that they're going to be working with or interacting with. They're caught up in themselves and instead of being part of a group. And I think that's important.
One of my bosses says it starts to subside the older you get. One of my bosses said that. I just got a tooth pulled. I'm
I
laughing.
Wish you
oh,
was right.
Yeah, I know. That's true, though. Some of I know.
Well, I think there's more of a capacity as one grows older to let go of the ego and to recognize that there's a lot more to life than selfishness. Don't you, Ada?
Well,
yes.
I wish you were right, but my goodness, I've dealt with these people that are in their 60s and 70s, and they act like I'd rather work with somebody who is 20 years old who has a little bit of reserve.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a thing? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, because when you get them younger, they're not as fixed in their ways.
Right, and there's a certain age between 60 and 70 or 75 where they think they have the right. And boy, oh boy, I mean, you're really facing a, I face that every so often, and I think, well, I say to them, okay, this is what I have to tell you, and this is how it'll work, and you can try it if you want to, but if you don't want to, just keep going like you are and see how it turns out. And they go, well, you don't care about people. I said, I care a great deal. But if you're not going to listen to me, don't waste my time, because there's other people that will listen.
Yeah.
And that usually puts an end to the whole story.
Well, how can you get yourself out of the way and participate as part of a larger whole?
By being a part of it. By simply saying, oh, my. Here there are. Okay, there's 30 people in the group, and you come into the group, and everybody's wondering what kind of a person you are. So the first thing you better do is learn how to smile and learn how to crack a little joke once in a while on yourself.
Uh-huh.
Pretty soon people will be opening up, and you will have some friends. But you have to do something to let them know that you're not an ogre. And the best way is to crack a joke about yourself, and everybody will laugh, and that'll solve the problem.
That's an interesting take on it. I like that.
Yeah. Well, somebody, I had to go to work for a company, and I had about 300 people under me, and they were all scattered through the country. So every one of them I said the same thing to. I said, you know, what? Where are you at? They'd say, Massachusetts. I'd say, you poor kid, I'm out here in Montana, and I tell you, I think it's better out here than it is in Massachusetts. She said, you're probably right. I think I'll come out. By golly, she did.
Huh.
But, I mean, I always let them think that, you know, they could do better. Somewhere they could do better. And they would. They would. I had a very good team of people working, and they all were joyous, and they'd leave me these crazy messages at night because they knew I went to bed, and after 7 o'clock at night, I don't take any calls. So they'd leave these crazy messages, so the next morning I'd get up at 4 o'clock and answer the question, leave them a crazy answer.
Well, you know, I like what you were implying, and that is, I think if you can embrace and affirm for somebody that they have a larger potential than they might realize for themselves,
right,
that will help them to realize it. And if we're part of a larger whole than ourselves, we can contribute whatever our potential is to the greater whole.
Right, and you can do it and feel good about it, and they'll be happy with you. Someone will call back and thank you for calling in. You know, someone will share your message, and that will bring everybody together. That'll bring somebody in.
What do you think, Sharon?
I totally agree. I'm running on my treadmill and I'm listening to your show. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I don't think anything's impossible. I hear you, and I don't think anything's impossible. I just think it takes sometimes a little longer to digest some of the things we receive, you know?
Absolutely.
Some of the ideas can be very foreign to us because we've never thought of it. So we have to kind of think about it a little bit and mull it over and see what we come up with.
I think another important aspect of it is to live in the solution and not in the problem.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at what they said, and where does that take us? It takes us to a totally different place because we're not in the problem. We are the solution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, that works. That works.
And two heads are better than one.
Right.
Yeah. I think if people can put their egos aside and recognize that they may not have the answer to everything, and that, you know, if they participate with the team, they can get a lot of input and come up with the best possible solution.
And they can. And we do it all the time because somebody says, Well, I'm down in Texas. I said, well, that's okay. I'm sure you've learned a lot being in Texas. So what would you do if this was yours in your lap? What would you do? And they said, you're asking me? I said, I just did.
Well,
in other words, I'm giving them the option to be able to have an opinion and ask questions and see what they want to say. You'd be amazed at how much you learn.
Right. Well, I think it's important not to say that I've got the best answer. You need to put your ego aside and be open to finding a consensus that everybody agrees with is the best possible solution.
Right. That is very much the truth. And if you spoke to 6 or 8 people and they don't know each other and they're giving you their opinion, then you can little by little let them know that somebody else either agreed with them or that's a good solution, and you will share it. And I'm real good at that.
I know you are.
Yeah, because it really, it's once it's out there, maybe it came to me, but then I gave it to somebody else for an opinion, and they gave it back to me, and then I gave it to another person until probably 15 people have it, and all those people together have probably give you enough information to start a business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But and then I share those people with each other because they usually seem to be very interested in the work, and that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Really good.
What else do you want to say about teamwork?
What I want to say about teamwork is if it's coming from your heart and it's the best you know, you can be grateful and you will make a lot of new friends. Teamwork makes friends. And it continues to do that as long as you're able to share a little and accept a little. It has to be both ways. You have to give something and you have to receive and accept something. It's important.
I agree.
I like
what prompted this is today at work, there was a girl, she was having an allergy attack and she was sneezing so hard. Her eyes were watering. I don't know what she ate. And I'm like, oh, this poor girl. So another woman walked up. Oh, that happened to me. She's telling everybody about what happened to herself. Here's this girl next to me practically dying. That's what I was trying to say. See what I mean? Selfish.
Yeah, you're right.
I was disgusted, but I didn't say anything. It wasn't my point to do that.
Yeah. You know, there's a point on the chest. Let me see if I can give it to you. Okay. If you put your hand on your chest, what hand is this? My left hand? Okay, yeah. Okay, I got my left hand on my chest, my fingers spread out. Now, second from the little finger, right there on your chest, you could push gently into that spot. You should be able to touch that spot, and you should be able to feel it, like it has a little sharpness. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to teach you this, and I'm going to, and it's absolutely gospel. If someone is having a bad time coughing or choking, walk over to them and put your hand on their chest, your left hand, and on that point, on that particular finger, gently press. Don't hard, just gently press. They will instantly stop coughing. They will instantly be able to breathe normally. Now, remember what I said. I'm talking about your left hand on their chest and the finger before the little finger. Okay, yeah, or my little finger in there. And when you spread your hand, any normal hand, and press gently, just put your finger on there. Don't push hard. Just press on it, and they'll immediately stop coughing, and their eyes will stop running, and they'll be fine.
That's interesting.
Okay.
You don't know how many times in a crowd of people somebody is going, and I just walk over to them and I put my hand on their chest and touch that spot, and it stops instantly. Wow. And you're not going high on the chest. You're just going, you know, below, let me see, maybe 2 inches below the sternum.
Okay.
And it'll stop it right there. And my grandmother taught us how to do that, because sometimes when you get a bad cold or you get something attacks you and you start coughing, she'd say, now come on, now you do this to yourself. You can do it to yourself. And she taught us how to do it. And I taught all my kids how to do it. Not that they remembered, but, you know, I don't use a lot of, in fact, I don't do medicines of any kind that don't come out of the cupboard. That's where it comes from, out of the cupboard, or, you know.
Well, is there anything else you wanted to say about teamwork?
Well, teamwork means that people like each other and they're going to work together. And when they work together, they become together and they become friends. And it usually lasts for lifetimes. You know, those kind of friendships really last a lifetime, because everybody knows something that somebody else don't know, and they share it. And that makes them friends forever and ever and ever. You can probably say, I remember I worked with a lady when I was a teenager, and she stopped somebody from choking or coughing or something. And I don't even remember her name, but I remember how she did it. And that happens a lot. Of course, I was raised in a country where no big city was around, you know.
Right.
So there's a lot of remedies that I have that I could share if people called me and they needed them.
I know you do. You've written a book of remedies.
I have, yeah.
I've got a copy of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they work very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's a good book, and it's simple. There's not anything difficult about it, is there?
Well, we don't have any other callers. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, Ada Marie?
Well, I don't know. We've had this crazy weather and wind storms and very little rain, really, just wind and cold. And it's 40 degrees. I'm trying to think as my brain half froze.
right.
Because it has been a bit trying, because you can't really do anything outside, and we do a lot of work outside, so.
Right.
It's been a little bit trying. Other than that, one of the things I think that maybe people could do for themselves, they do it for themselves, is to pray whenever they have a few minutes, like waiting in their car for something or they're in traffic, is could pray for the protection and the freedom of our nation. There's so many things happening with the killing and all the nastiness. If we just prayed as people, you know, this is our country. We're a member of the United States of America. And if we just took time every time we had a few extra minutes and prayed for the protection and the freedom of this nation, we could do wonders in stopping a lot of the negativity that's going on. It could happen. And if everybody took a few minutes when they're driving, whatever they're doing, when they're not having to think, you know, right or something, we could stop all this nonsense. I pray all the time. If I'm driving in a slow crowd of people, I see the nation completely free of all hate and jealousy and negativity and killing and insecurity. I just keep everything I can think of, that I just keep praying all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everybody could do it. I mean, they're wherever they're at, if they're not having to use their eyes and their ears to do some work, they could take time to see our country free of all negativity and hate and killing, because it's terrible.
It is terrible.
And we and I tell all my students that, and they all do it. They do it. I know they do because I can tell. And they'll oftentimes say, well, I saw the cars just move away, and all of a sudden I could just drive straight through. And different things like that, and they're praying, and they know that, that God is helping them as they pray. And I think he helps everybody who prays, so I...
Do too, yeah.
I truly believe it.
Yeah.
I don't think you can send him a message that he don't answer.
That's right.
So I really believe that if you just will hold your heart and know in your heart that he is there for you, and will help you, and be grateful and say thank you and give him some gratitude, man, you'd be amazed at the things that can happen and the things that will be made good for you. It's amazing. In fact, one time I had a group of women sitting at the table, and we were really in a bad fix, and we needed $10,000. This was on a Wednesday morning. And I said, okay, now watch this. I'm going to point right up there, and I'm going to say, okay, I require $10,000 now. And we all left. Everybody went home. So on Friday when they came, we were doing our regular prayers and our actions, and they, and somebody said, did you get $10,000? Did you really get $10,000? And the doorbell rang as she said it, and I said, go see who's at the door. Maybe one of the girls want to come in. There was a man at the door, and he said, can you sign for this? Are you the lady of the house? And she said, no, I'm not. So she come and got me, and I signed for it, and it was a check for $10,000 from one of my clients.
Oh, my.
And I said, come here, Donna, come here. And so I gave it to her, and I said to him, I said, thank you. I said, I appreciate very much you coming all the way up this hill to give it. You could have left it in the slot. And he said, no, no, no. I wanted to give it to you. I'm sure it's a check. And it was.
That's beautiful.
And when she turned around, she goes, how did you do that? I said, I didn't do anything. I asked for that last Wednesday.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a good example of manifestation.
That is, that's manifestation. And if you be careful what you manifest for. Now, let me give you a little lesson on that. If you manifest for something and you haven't carefully decided how it's going to work, then be careful about the manifestation. And I'm telling you, a lady was sitting here and she was staying with me for a couple of weeks. I said to her, what are you doing? And she said, well, she said, I'm manifesting that we get a whole bunch of people that stop by and want to do work. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm busy enough. Well, sure enough, you know, and 2 days later, there was five or six people in a car, crawled out of a car and wanted to talk. I said, I don't have time. I'm busy. But I told her, I said, don't do that. If you want to manifest something for yourself, that's fine. You do it. But don't do it for somebody else.
Right. Right.
Unless they ask you to do it. If they ask you to do it, that's one thing.
That's a very good point.
Yes.
Well, Ada, I don't know if there's anything else to be said for today.
I guess that's about it. But if you want to manifest something, make sure the people you're going to do it for know about it and they agree. Otherwise, you're interfering in their life.
I hear you. Yeah.
So I want to say that before we quit today, but you have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good. You too.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.